Hello, everybody. This is Annie with Annie Asks of Well Read Magazine. Well, for Well Read Magazine. And I would like to thank Mandy Haynes, the founder, editor-in-chief, and all things glory when it comes to Well Read Magazine. She does everything. And I want to thank her for allowing me to do this podcast and interview with various authors who I deem like the sparklers of the month, like the authors that sparkle, or the people in the literary industry for various reasons. And Owen does. And the reason I say that is, number one, he writes very quickly. Everything he writes is wonderful, but he also gets like the most reviews I've ever seen of anybody get. And they're all wonderful. He has wonderful quotes in all of his books, which I love. I'm a quote magnet, so I love quotes. He's very charismatic. We have a podcast that we do every once in a while called The Page to Screen Scoop, which ironically, we always get a lot of, or I tend to get a lot of, can I have the MP4? Because I need this forever, because there's a lot of notes I need to take, because Owen and Jeff Arch teach people a lot of things, which is a lot of fun. So he does a lot of things, and he also drinks draft beer on screen, right there, to go. He's Irish, and he writes about World War II, and he's drinking a really light Guinness.
No, I'm not. It's in a Guinness glass.
It's in a Guinness pint glass, which is phenomenal. Yes, it is.
I want to keep up the cultural stereotypes just that much, though, you know. So,
let me ask you this. Is that pint glass from Ireland?
No. Maybe. No.
Yeah, because I like, pass. I always would steal them from the pubs, right? Don't answer. Pass. So the reason and how Annie Asks came into play with Well Read Magazine was, I am an avid reader of magazines, and I love Vanity Fair. And they always ask actors, famous people, the Proust questions.
Okay.
And I was always intrigued by these questions. I found them very intriguing. And then I started researching it. And writers can also use them to learn more about their characters.
Okay.
So let's say one of your characters in your book, like from The Lion's Den, right? Okay. The father. You can say, I really want to flesh him out more before I write these stories. So you could ask these 35 questions and answer them and get to know your characters better. They say when it comes to characters, the classic advice is to write what you know applies. The better you know them, the more real the story feels. Supposedly these questions make you know them better.
Right.
So, but they're also used as parlor questions. So they're a lot of fun. So I kind of like to use them as parlor questions, but along the way, teach people in the industry of how they can flesh out their characters. But getting to know your character, Owen Dempsey, is going to teach us a lot about you and invite people to say, I want to know more about his books. Okay. And I would like to show you a graphic.
We're educate, as well as titillate.
I knew you just cracked me up. Thank you so much for being here, Owen, and thank you for taking the time to do this. Anytime. I really appreciate it. Anytime. It's always like, I need help. Okay, you're so good to me. Thank you. So I made this graphic with all 16 of his books, and so you need to all catch up. Ready?
Wow! Whoa! Cool.
But the graphic doesn't have Annie Asks and all that on it. But I try to put everything like pretty together. Wow. But it's
my career as an author all in one screen, huh?
I wanted to put your picture in the middle, but it was too difficult.
There's too many bloody books.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah.
But you know,
wow, like that. Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows my favorite book was The Hidden Soldier, which is the second one down from the right. But yeah, I love the Lion's Den series. Great. And now his most recent book is The Saint of Impossible Causes.
Yeah.
Now, that cover alone, I want to frame and put up. But yeah, all of your covers are brilliant. All your covers are brilliant. But, like, I just remember landing, like, in the plane in Ireland. And you have, like, all that greenery on the cover, which I just, it's so inviting. But I love, like, how you went from World War II. And Jeff and I always tease you about, not tease you, but not that it's a joke to talk about Nazis, but you're always writing about
Nazis.
World War II and Nazis. But the thing is, like, your writing is always in your really true grit in your face, evoking, captivating, illuminating, really. And you have us all bear witness to things that really happen. And that's what I loved most about you when I first read your books. Because I read the two. Remember right away?
And I remember, it came out in February. Like,
I was in love with your books. And I remember, I'm going to admit it now, I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this guy. He's not really the nicest guy. I didn't think. And then, like, I met you, and it was like, we were like, right no, you're just busy. I didn't realize you had, like, a gang of kids and a wife and all this stuff. I was, not that I wouldn't like you. I was scared we might not get along because you were very. Very on point.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you know I'm not. I'm very fly by the seat of my pants. So I was like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, Serena. And then boom, it was like.
Match made in heaven, honey. Match made in heaven.
Match made in heaven. Yes, yes. So thank you. So I wanted to have you as my first guest for January.
Ooh, first guest of the new year. Yes.
Okay. So this is how it's going to go. Okay. I'm going to ask you the Proust questions. Up to 10, up to maybe 12. You get to hit the gong button or show me the death stamp or whatever it's called that your kids left on the desk. Or go shine yourself into the light behind. Stamp me. Yeah. No. You get to pass or go into the light. Go into the light. Okay. And
go toward the light. Yeah.
Go toward the light. And my husband always tells me, stay away from the light. Stay away from but some of the questions you might want to pass and just pass, and then we move on to the next one. And then all I have some fun questions at the end to lighten up the mood a little bit. Not that it's this is all too serious, but it is a little. So the first question is Owen Dempsey.
Yes.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
I think my idea of perfect happiness, first thing that comes into my head is a joke, but for real, I think...
Do a joke here. We're jokesters.
Well, it might not be. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I might not want to
know. There's certain things that we might not want to go into that might be my idea of perfect happiness that we can just keep
to ourselves. I understand now what your perfect happiness is.
So... As a writer, we write, but we want to see between the lines, so you can read between the lines on that one. But I think, like as much as my kids are the bane of my existence, they're also the best part of my existence. So there are certain times when I'm just looking at them or having times with them. It was my 4-year-old's birthday yesterday, and there was a time we took him out to the museum, and there are just moments like that where everything in line, everything just seems to be perfect. No matter what any external factors might exist in your life, just at that moment, everything is right. And it happens every so often. And I think it's really important to recognize it when it's there.
See, that's what makes you a good writer. It's the moments. Like,
So I think in everyone's life, no matter what you're doing or how you derive your own happiness, there are going to be moments, no matter what is going on, that everything just lines up, even if it's for 10 seconds in one day. And I think if we recognize that and kind of just know that it happened and we wallow in it a little bit as it does happen, I think we're going to be happier people, you know? So that is my answer. That's my PG answer to that question.
That's your PG answer. Okay. Yes. I enjoy looking at your photos, like when you have your son playing golf with you.
Yeah, he's a good golfer. Yeah.
You know, like I get such a kick out of it, your family photos where you're all like, on your vacations. It's just it's very nice to see. Mm-hmm. So that is, I am always perfectly happy in the moments that I'm with, you and Jeff on air. It's mm-hmm. like everything else goes away.
Yeah, that's a great feeling.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, okay, we've been here almost 2 hours. We got to go.
But me and many others, when I say, there's lots of other people that you interview too, and that you do, like I saw you had interviews last week and yeah. Absolutely. So.
Well, you're very nice. Thank you. Well, with you guys, it's just light, easygoing. We don't know where we're going to talk about it. And then boom, we're talking about really serious stuff, which is great.
Sometimes.
So, I just mean it makes me forget about everything going on around me. Okay. So the next question is, which living person do you most admire?
Oh, God. Wow.
I love that one because most people say, what dead person, what person that's gone do you most admire? I like saying what alive
person. Living person do you most admire? Wow. That's really hard.
It could be me. I'm just kidding.
Person I most admire is Annie MacDonald.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Let's be real.
Now, let me see. The person I most admire is, oh God, at the moment, it's my wife dealing with the kids downstairs. I have to say, I can hear her trying to put little Jack to bed and he's kicking up fuss. And he hits her in the face and she still hugs him after that. So maybe I'm just going to go for her right now.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. Well, and you're the one that's good at putting them to bed. I'm sorry for having you this late.
It's okay.
I thought you were going to say someone else, but that's okay.
I did say you.
No, someone else.
Like who?
Like Jeff Arch.
Not that guy, no. Although I saw his movie today. His movie was on AMC today, and I watched it for a few minutes.
Oh, the
Sleepers in Seattle,
Yeah. And oh my gosh. It's really good. Did you watch the other one? What's the one that we just talked about?
The one with the dogs, the Disney one. Yeah.
I just have to tell you that. That one's so brilliant. That one's so, so good. So
he told me that. He told me that.
Only your eldest will watch it.
That's the thing. So.
Yeah, you have to watch it first. Okay.
But you know what I saw the day before yesterday for the first time ever?
What?
Home Alone. No, and everyone reacts that way, and particularly the fact that I am a movie guy. They react like they want to throw acid in my face when I say those words. But those words will no longer be spoken. I have now seen Home Alone.
Well, you know why, too? You have three boys running around your house. You and your wife's name is Jill, right?
That's Jill, yeah. Yeah, I was saying
to Robbie, imagine you both going on vacation and like the three of them being in the house.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, well, the house would be burned to the ground in about 15 minutes. It wouldn't last that long. 2 days away in Paris. But I saw something today about, and it was this article, and it was how rich were the McAllister family in Home Alone? Because first when I put it on, I was like, those 80s movies, they live in these massive houses and they're just like normal people or whatever. It's just like, not true. But they were like presented as rich people in the movie though, weren't they?
Correct.
And I think that house today would be worth like $2.8 million or something like this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they were rich. And back then it would have been like something like 900,000 or something like this, which is obviously, with inflation and stuff, really, really expensive back then and really expensive. So they're like rich people. So,
wow. That's funny that you looked that up.
I was interested. I was like, because they, these old movies, they always have these huge houses and they're expected to, this is a normal family, but they're rich people.
And they used to be called, now we call those McMansions.
McMansions, yeah, right, yeah.
Well, that all started because of a show with the Mick. But of course, everything grand has Mick in front of it. Let's be honest. With the Irish,
including this interview, so, Mick is in front of this.
It's funny. My Instagram name is Mick Horsky because my maiden name is Horsky, which is not Irish. So no. I was calling myself Mick Horsky. Because I had to have an Irish name. And my dog is not going to stop barking now. I'm sorry. Okay, so my next question is this. What do you consider the most overrated virtue?
Okay. What do I consider the most overrated virtue? I don't know if this is strictly a virtue, but I was at the pub last Friday night, right? Okay. And so I went down with a few guys, okay? And you get to see just different levels of, you know, how much fun they're prepared to have on the night. You know what I mean? We're all like fathers and we're all doing our thing. You're all men in our 40s. So you go out and end of the night comes, right? And a few of the guys have already gone home. And it's me and the person there I would probably consider the funnest, even though they're all fun, but the funnest person there.
The funnest.
And he starts buying shots of whiskey. Now, I, as an Irish person, I'm expected to love drinking whiskey, but I do not. And I have disappointed many, many Americans in my tenure living in this country because I don't like the whiskey, okay? Because they come up to me and they want to live all their kind of like Irish dreams by buying whiskey for the Irish guy. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh God, man, I have to drink it. Like it's like.
Oh, so you drink it.
Yeah, I do, but I don't like it. I drink it to please them, Annie. So I'm a people pleaser. So the end of the night comes last Friday, right? And my friend, who shall remain unnamed, buys shots of whiskey. And I've already had a few at this stage. And I have to, you know, I have to get up with the kids next day and everything. I'm like, oh God, do we have to? And eventually I did, of course. And then he bought another round and I had another argument with him. And then I drank that round too. Okay, so went home with fairly steaming, okay? Got up the next day, had a bit of a bad head. Didn't have a great day on Saturday. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. So I met a friend of mine on Monday who left a bit earlier. I'm getting to it. I'm getting to the question, all right? Stay with
me. No, it's okay. Take your time.
So I met a friend of mine on Monday, one of the guys who left a bit earlier. Great guy. Really like him. Really enjoy spending time with him. Really enjoy spending time with all of them. And he said to me, I said, oh God, you left just before the whiskey shots came out. You did that on Friday night. And he said, yeah, well, I actually didn't, but I chose not to drink them. And he said, oh God, why do we have to, you don't have to go out and get completely banged up. And then something clicked in my mind. As soon as he said it, didn't say a word to him, didn't say a word. But I was like, you know what? I think you do. In my head. And I was thinking, the guy who bought them, that's why he's so fun, because he does reckless things like that just to push it a bit. Like, we're not like going out riding on the top of like cars or anything, like moving cars. We're not playing chicken with moving cars. That's stupid. But just a little bit, just pushing the envelope, just a wee bit.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
I really
yes.
like that about him. So we're talking about overrated virtues. Maybe the virtue of depriving yourself so you feel better the next day. Maybe that, to me, is an overrated virtue, okay? I don't know if that has a name specifically, but...
There is a name for that, I just can't I can't think of it, but
we should know. I'm a writer and you're
that's hysterical yeah. You're like,
that's what I'm gonna go for,
because I'm a people pleaser. You know, oh my gosh.
And I texted one of my friends the next day and I said to him, of all the whiskey I've drunk in my life, I think about 5% has been voluntary, because as I said, they just lie. Every time, I used to happen to me a lot more when I was a younger man,
But just come out now. Just want a shot of whiskey. I'll be like, oh, God.
Oh, I love whiskey. I can't drink anymore, though. I mean, I do sometimes. Like when we had the O'Malley's pub, I drank whiskey that day. I drank whiskey that day. Not a lot, but I had some. Because I always have Jameson in the house.
Okay, yeah.
I love Jameson.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
But I like a lot of whiskey. So,
do you? Yeah. Irish or Scotch or?
I like Irish. I just like Irish whiskey. I Bushmills. I like.
Okay.
But that's like it's expensive. But I do like. I also like. Red Label. What is it?
Johnny Walker. There's
some, it's a kind of whiskey or. Or Scotch, maybe, but there's Red Label, Black Label, Johnny Walker.
Yeah, that's Johnny Walker, I think. Yeah, that's Scotch.
Yeah, oh my God, but I love the Red Label. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know. I like something with a bite. I drank so much vodka and rum in college, so it's just like, I had to move on to the better stuff because I had to show I was Irish. At this point now, I wanted to show my Irish pride. So. Because I had visited the Jameson's distillery, so.
You know, I'm from Dublin, and I spent so much time in Dublin, and I've never been to the Jameson distillery. Yeah. I don't like whiskey.
That's like me living in New York City, and I'm devastated because I never made it to the Ireland. There's a place where you go to Ireland, there's stones from Ireland.
Oh yeah, that place. Yeah, the old village. It's the old village. Yeah,
it's down near Ground Zero. And
yeah,
I was supposed to go there on my 50th birthday. I ended up in the hospital. I mean, of course I did. Of course I did. They loved it. But there's wonderful places. Okay, so I planned on having a shot of whiskey at every spot, but oh well.
Next time.
On what occasion do you lie?
I try not to lie at all in my life, and I used to be a teacher, and I see how much little kids lie to your face, and now I'm a dad of kids that age, and I see, like, my little next door neighbor the other day, maybe not the best behaved kid in the world, and he wrote a curse word in my son's little journal. He wrote in my son's journal. And I confronted him and said, you did this. Did you do this? No, I didn't know. No. And I'm like, I don't believe you. That's not the truth. I don't want to be that guy. And I don't want to put myself in a position. When do I lie? Do these jeans look good on me? Is a really difficult question sometimes.
Okay, I understand. That's a good one. I always say before my infusion, because it's the only place I go, I literally this week, because I get edema, I had to wear slippers. I look like an elf. And I said, do I look good? And my husband's like, you look great. And I'm like, he didn't even look at me, but that's okay. You know, it's like, I know he's lying. He just wants me out the door to go get my infusion.
But he also wants to make you happy, though. And he also wants to, like, you know, maybe, obviously, you're not going to look at your complete best when going to get your infusion.
I do try to make myself happy
when you're out the door.
So that is a good time to not be 100% honest. But you're right. There's a big difference. So, but yes. I like that question because it usually tends to lean people towards to make someone feel better.
Yeah.
You know,
most adults don't lie very much.
No.
The other ones you want to avoid, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And there's people. Yes, you're absolutely right. Okay. What is the quality you most like in a person? There is, just so everyone knows, Proust has it divided by man and woman, and I just like to say in a person.
Yeah, well, that was back in, you know, when everyone was sexist, so we'll get over that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, I guess, really, listen, Annie, it's really easy. Fun. Like, I have to say, because it's rarer. You know what I mean? Like, you meet a lot of nice people, you know, like a lot of nice people are kind. That's honestly, it's quite common.
Yes.
But fun is less common. So
that's true.
I think that if things that I look for when I meet people is if they're fun. And yeah, if you can get some like good fun with them and back. And that is, I think, the little magic dust sprinkled on top of the nice, which most people have. Because that's, I think that's the little magic dust that you need in order to, you know, hang around with this guy.
Well, but that's what makes you fun. You know, everyone recognizes that about you very easily. Because after I interview you or you and Jeff or whatever happens, I inevitably get the, who is that guy? He's so much fun. So, yeah, I mean, you are the fun guy. You're the guy that buys the whiskey at the end of the night for us.
Okay.
That's how it appears.
Figuratively. So, okay. All right.
Yes, figuratively. There you go. That's the word.
But yeah, that's what I would look for in people. I maybe other people have different answers, obviously. But yeah.
I like that. Which word or phrases do you most overuse?
Curse words, probably, Annie. But
I mean, you're Irish, so yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like adjectives, verbs, nouns.
Yeah. Everything. Oh my God.
The Irish.
Magnificent. Like dozens of different usages. Like it's just fantastic. Yeah, I'm gonna go with curse words.
There
yeah.
you go. When I come
just
back
from
Ireland,
leave it there with curse words. Yeah. Even though I'm not saying anywhere now.
Bloody. But a certain place. Bloody this.
Say again.
Bloody that. Bloody this. Bloody that.
Yeah, bloody is. Yeah, bloody is not even a curse word, is it?
No, but I'm just saying, when I come back from Ireland, that's like the word I use all the time. I'm always saying,
yeah. That's very common. Yeah, that's very common. Yeah.
And I always say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Yeah.
I mean, right? That's such an Irish thing. That's
when I hear my kids going, if my 8-year-old, he goes, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know.
What do you say?
Jesus Christ, like shaking his head. If my 8-year-old says that, you know, it's come straight from me. You know, it's interesting. Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that my 6th grade teacher did. I always said, oh, Jesus Christ. And I got it from my mom. Because she always, I think it's the Irish, I don't know. Yeah. I think that's where she gets it from. So I would always say it in school. And my 6th grade teacher just wrote to me, he's 97, he said, now I remember you. Jesus Christ. he goes, you used to always say that. He made me write cheese and rice, cheese and rice, cheese and rice across the blackboard during all of recess. Yes. So for years after that, I always said cheese and rice. I never said Jesus Christ ever again.
Oh, it works.
Yes, cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice.
So now you can teach your kids that. I think that's great.
Yeah,
so,
that's funny.
That's a good one.
Good for him. And 97, and he's still writing. That's great.
No, do you want to know what? Well, I called him up to thank him for teaching me to write and get me writing reviews and poems and helping me because I have reading comprehension problems. He was still alive. And his wife was like, he's not going to remember you, but he's going to be so grateful that you're calling. So I said, okay. He kept saying, knock, knock, who's there? I tell him my guesses. And then he'd say, now you go. So I'd go, knock, knock. He'd say, who's there? And I go, I don't know. Like, because I didn't know how to play this game. So anyway, he got a kick out of that. But he said, this getting old thing sucks. He's like, I'm starting to have a hard time walking. And I go, you're starting to have a hard time walking? That's
at age 97.
97. And his name is Mr. Book. So the best thing is like to prove that he really existed. Anyway, okay. When and where were you the happiest?
I'm gonna go, just the first thing that comes into my head is when I went to Australia for a year when I was 22, and the feeling of freedom and just hanging out and just doing whatever I wanted, getting fired from jobs and didn't matter. We didn't have enough money to do anything, but we'd always find money to go out drinking, and I was just trying to pick up girls and having so much fun. I'm gonna go with that.
We're going to go past it real quick. I love it. I love it. That's great. A lot of people from Ireland go to Australia. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very common. Yeah. And Spain. Okay. Which talent would you like to have most beyond like the talents that you obviously already have? And let's not go with you wish you were a better rugby player.
No, you know what I would like to be able to do that I can't? I'd like to be better at DIY because this is the stage of my life. I wish that. So we have loads of tools downstairs that we kind of got from my, we inherited from my father-in-law over the years. And the boys refer to them as mommy's toolbox. Because,
are you serious?
Daddy's not using them, you know what I mean? Mom's the one who would do these things. And I would like, one of my mates is like the total opposite of me. Like if we were back in caveman, I would say about him, if we were back in caveman days, he'd be like head of the cave. You know what I mean?
He would be making the wheel.
Yes. And he'd be starting the fires and like we'd hunt right. And I'd be in the corner, like shaking, like, please protect me. And I'll tell you a story around the fire. So I think.
And you're like, I'll tell you a story about World War II.
Yeah, sorry, that's coming. It's coming. 53,000 years.
I'm sorry to laugh about World War II. That's but you tell great World War II stories. So,
so I think I would have if I could choose some. I would like to be higher up in the caveman echelon of things because I'm very low down on that scale.
But you can drink whiskey when you're made to. That's great. That's great.
I am because I'm a people pleaser. That's the end.
You are. You are. It YouTube, Owen. YouTube. Okay. Our dishwasher broke. I fixed it by watching a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah. You see, here's the
thing.
I'm just
letting you know.
I also don't want to do it. So I wish that was in me, too.
Let it be mommy's toolbox. All right, I got it.
Yeah, I do lots of other, I'm obsessed by doing laundry, by the way. I'm like, for 25 minutes we're on here, I was like folding the boys' laundry, and I'm obsessed.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I know you do great fatherly things like that. That's wonderful. Okay. That's great. You're so funny. I'd be over here shivering.
I would, yeah.
I'll tell you a story. You'd be the one carving into the wall, telling a story.
I'd have Hitler, like, and then
we'd be like, oh, look, it's an original Owen Dempsey.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that's funny. Okay.
Cave painting of World War II.
I am so going to be doing something with that, just so you know. Oh, okay. My God. My mind is moving. Okay. Where would you most like to live?
South Dublin is where I'm from. Like, I would love to live there.
I had to ask. Okay.
I don't live there, and I used to. And listen, America's great. Lots of nice people and genuinely polite and nice people. But, if I'm completely honest, the thing I was searching for, the fun thing, Irish people, in my mind.
Oh, yes.
From my tastes.
Yes.
Very fun. And
oh, no, there's no doubt about it.
Per pound you get over there is unprecedented in the world as far as I'm concerned. So that.
You can walk into a bar there, or a pub by yourself and have the time of your life. As if you've known these people forever and you've lived in their village forever and you are welcome and somebody's marrying you off to their kid. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Here, you're left alone sometimes, you know.
I don't know. But
unless
I don't know.
I'm saying compared to Ireland. Ireland treats you like family.
That's a great thing and something I do miss. Yes. Nothing against this fine country, which has been so good to me. My American wife and American children. But yeah, if I could live anywhere, I'd be there. So that's okay. Just the question particular to me that I would answer quickly.
I love it. What part of Dublin are you from?
I'm from a place called, also, I'm also from one of the nicest places in Dublin.
No, I'm from a place called.
Oh, you are?
Well, I used to live in Clondalkin, Donabate.
Okay.
You?
I'm from Dorky. Now, if you...
No offense, okay.
But if you talk to people, generally, Dorky would be somewhere, you know, would be desirable.
Is that on the water? Desirability.
It is, yeah. It's by the, yeah.
Okay, we'll see. So is Clondalk and Donabate. I mean, they had the cool swings that went over the water in the day. Oh my God. They don't have that anymore, though. But yeah, okay. I'm not going to argue with you. Ireland's just beautiful anywhere you go, really. In Dublin. No, I love other places. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Dublin, yeah.
But I love Dublin. You know,
that's okay. Just my hometown, you know. So,
yes, it used to always be like, I had to see the Halfpenny Bridge every time I went, and then I'd always meet the family at the post office in the middle of the city, like in, after shopping. GPO. That big,
GPO. Okay, cool.
Yeah, my brother was born in the elevator at Dublin Hospital.
Is that right?
Yes, swear to God.
Oh, wow.
Swear to God. All right. What is your favorite occupation? That's a good one for you.
Well, I'm an author.
Now, we can't say father.
What?
Can't say father.
No, that's an occupation. I got paid for that. God, if only. I wanted to be an author for so long. It's... like I wanted to be an author for 20 years before I became a full-time author. It's such
it's amazing that you're a full-time author.
Yeah.
Congratulations about that.
Thanks. I've been for years now. It's such an up and down profession though. I think it's a really good representation of life itself. Just get a little bit deeper. I think once you realize your dream, you realize that the dream isn't what you thought it would be. It's still great, but it's still hard, you know, it's difficult. Hence I release about 27 books a week. It's tough. It's tough. There's a lot of work in it and things change. And you think you have your audience and everything's where it should be and everything's lined up. And then the winds shift and you have to change the sails to match the wind. It's difficult. But it's fun. It's like sitting down and just making stuff up and just people digging it. It's just the best thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's also,
To
me, it's interesting how you have some single books, group books, like trilogy.
Then you have six books.
And I'm just, I'm going to go off topic here for just one second. Uh-huh. How do you... Do you know, this is going to be three books, this will be six? Or does it just that these characters just keep opening and blooming?
With the six book series I did, that was the Lion's Den series. Now, that was set over a very specific time frame. So that was meant to be about pre-war Berlin and Germany, but specifically Berlin.
That was special.
So it started in 1932 in the States, and then they moved in 1933, just before the Nazis came to power. So it was always going to be 1933 to 1939. And I was doing more or less, except for 1934, which I skipped, I was doing more or less one book per year. So that's kind of worked out as the six, if you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the natural end for that story was when the war broke out. So that was...
Don't give anything away.
Yeah. So that was the natural end to it. But the great thing about families is they get older and they get interesting. And an author friend of mine once told me to write about families because it gives you so many options. And it was great. I was able to take the oldest daughter and then give her own series. Yeah. But I think I could have gone further with that series. But the story, you know, you're always walking a tightrope between story and just trying to do it for money, you know, like, because that series did well and I make decent amount of money off it. But
yeah, that's true.
So it's always like artistically, which is better, you know, is it better artistically to drag this out like, I don't know. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Matrix, right? Matrix first movie.
Hello,
is
really I dressed as Trinity one Halloween. I love it too.
Oh yeah. But Matrix 2 is pretty crap, and Matrix 3 is abysmal, and Matrix 4 was just unnecessary. So, like, what should they have done? Should they have just left it? Yes, they should have. Artistically, they'd be better off. Now, they would have been, their mansions would have been a bit smaller, and Keanu Reeves would have been a bit richer, although I love Keanu, would have been left a bit less rich. But, yeah, artistically, it would have been more successful. So
I do like how you say artistically. That's so true. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's something that you have to take into account, even when you're on a smaller scale.
Yeah, but like the, you know, not for nothing. I love The Hidden Soldier. I'd love to know more about the kid, the girl in the book. From what I remember. Because it was a while ago, it's like 2021.
Sorry, I didn't actually hear what you said there.
The daughter.
Oh yeah.
In the book.
Yeah.
There was just so much like, but I love how you send characters and like the storylines to different places, which is like almost like backwards of like where you expect them to be going, which is what I love that you do, how you toggle things. Yeah. So that's very interesting. And that's how I think you're artistic.
Thank you.
That you're able to do that. Okay. What do you most value in your friends? And that's question number 10.
I think you know what I'm going to say here.
That they're fun?
Fun. I like them to be fun.
Okay.
Like
so, interesting.
And loyal.
Loyal. I like that. Yeah. Loyal.
Loyalty.
Well, can I ask you two more questions then?
That's the 10 more. Go on.
Okay. Who are your favorite? Oh, I don't want to ask you that because I'm a writer. I mean, I hate to go, who's your favorite writer? And then I'm a writer sitting here. Who is your hero in fiction that's not from one of your books?
Who is my hero in fiction from not from one of my books? Can I give a cheesy answer? And listen, when I first saw, listen, everyone's seen this, it seems so stupid, but okay, I'm gonna give you two answers. First answer, Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption, like a man who crawled through a river of SHIT and came out on the other side. I love it. I love the way he never gave up, and I love his absolute determination and to stand up and to keep quiet about burrowing through that wall for 19 years. To keep quiet.
Yes.
I love it. It's so good. And then he has a reward at the end, and I love it. And I've been to that beach at the end of that movie, and it was one of the most gorgeous beaches I've ever been.
Oh, have you really?
I have. It's in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, and I've been in that beach. Yeah, it was gorgeous. And
that's
the other
so
one,
exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Oh my God.
The other one I'm going to say is Marty McFly from Back to the Future. When I saw that movie.
Wait, you froze on me.
The other one I'm going to say.
What's the next one?
Is Marty McFly from Back to the Future. When I saw that movie when I was 8 in the movie theater.
I cannot believe it. That's awesome. You are the best. That's great. Now we know why you go back in time when you write.
I can never in my life think any one single human being is as cool as I thought he was when I was 8. It was
really,
I was knocked back with how awesome he was when he was like riding on the skateboard on the back of the car and he waves to all the ladies in doing the oh my god, so good, doing the aerobics.
Oh, that's
really
so great.
Style. So cool. That is probably my favorite movie. And yes, Marty McFly, I would say definitely yes.
Oh, that's, I love that. No one's ever given that answer. That's
well, this guy is.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So my other question is to end the questions, besides my game, which only takes 5 minutes, what is your motto?
What is my motto?
Have fun.
Yeah, well, yeah. But
girls, boys just want to have fun.
I recently saw Shane McGowan, the Irish singer, died, the lead singer of the Pogues, died a couple of years ago. He was one of these type of guys where it was one of these, how is he still alive, people? You know, I used to mention him in the same breath as Keith Richards, you know?
And, yes.
How are these people still alive? You know, because like the lives they lead, and they just abuse their bodies to like this ridiculous degree.
Right.
They still knock it out. Unfortunately, time caught up with Shane in the end. A few weeks ago, he died at age 65. But remember Nick Cave, the singer, put up a really eloquent tribute to him on Instagram or one of the things. And it was a Raymond Carver poem. And he said, the poem, and God, I wish I knew it off by heart, but it's really special. And it says, actually, you know what? I do have it here. Let me do this because I have it still. And the poem.
Look it up. Let's look it up.
No, I have it right here because I kept it on my computer. Here it is. Now there it's beside this.
Okay. Oh, okay. Here it is. I was going to look.
Here's the poem, right? And this, I think it's really short, and I'm going to read it. This can be my motto, okay? It's called Late Fragment by Raymond Carver. The poem goes, and did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth. And that is it. So, if you want to go with a motto for Owen Dempsey, it could be that. To feel yourself, did you get what you wanted?
I like that.
To feel beloved on this earth.
I love that.
Beloved on this earth?
I love that.
But, yes.
Well, that's almost like one of mine is to love and be loved.
Very much. It's the same thing. Yep. So,
I like the way that one said much better.
Oh, isn't it great? Isn't it great?
It's beautiful. It's truly beautiful.
So that really moved me to the point where I kept
that was wonderful. That was wonderful. I thought it was going to be like travel more, do 50 things, have 3 boys. I don't know.
No,
buy
3 boys.
Sons. I don't
know. Have no kids. That'd be fine. Said I could travel.
I have more. No, that's not true. You are.
No, it's not.
You are the. Well, that, okay, yes. But you know, you did get that out of your system. You just mentioned Australia.
No, I did a lot of traveling. I'm a wee bit older than most people who have kids. My.
How do you keep up?
How do I keep up with what? Sorry, I lost you there for a sec, Annie.
We keep freezing. So
yeah, you're freezing.
So I'm just going to go through these real quick. Ready? They're rapid fire questions.
Okay, go.
Yellow light, slow down or speed up?
Speed up, Jesus.
Okay. Beer, imported or domestic?
I'm going to go with imported.
Okay. Holiday. I know, I wanted to say something else, but I didn't. Holiday, Valentine's Day or Halloween?
Halloween. Come on.
Girls, makeup or no makeup?
No makeup, but makeup too. Because I'm such a horrible man. That's the way we all want it. We all want women to look perfect as if they could have wearing makeup while not wearing makeup because we're all dicks.
That's funny.
Next.
I love it. Okay. Desserts, cookies or cake?
Cake.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Tea, but neither. Which is weird for an Irish person.
Well, yeah, but at least you said tea. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Snow or rain?
Snow for how it looks.
For how it looks, okay.
Yeah.
And early bird or night owl?
The other one. Like, as soon as you said early bird, I was like, whatever the other.
The other one. Whatever the other one is.
Don't bother finishing the rest of the question.
Well, that was hysterical. Well, Owen, you are such a pleasure. I really enjoyed this time that we spent together.
I had a great time.
And he can be found at, it's owendempseyauthor.com?
owendempseybooks.com, but just go on Amazon, Books. Look for me. I'm all over the place. Google.
Yeah, he is. You put in Owen Dempsey, he's all over the place. Yeah. And it's
E-O-I-N. I know that, three vowels and a consonant. It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. But okay, so that's where you can find Owen. And this will also be found in the magazine, Well Read Magazine. So thank you so much. Thank you, Mandy, and Well Read Magazine and Well Read Magazine subscribers.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. And have a happy 2024, everybody. This is the beginning.
Happy New Year.
Talk to you later.
Well, downhill after this.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.